Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors, and the U.S. and the world is basically transferring to digital payment systems. And this is great cause for concern, because if you look back at the age of the credit card and the magnetic stripe, the banks and other interested parties have done a really rotten job of securing your data and protecting the integrity of the system from bad actors. Now we go to full digital, where there's virtually no record, and it's cause for great, immense concern, because the ability of criminals to take ever larger amounts out of the system and the inability of law enforcement to catch these people got to be of great concern. And we've got Karsten Knoll with us now. He founded Security Research Labs. He has a PhD from the University of Virginia in cryptography. He's really one of the world's leading authorities on the subject of digital security. And Karsten, we're really thrilled to have you with us now.
Thanks much for having me.
So the world's going through a financial transformation where basically you don't even need a credit card in many places. We're going to digital payment systems that are really taking place in the cloud with no documentation. And you have some major concerns about this, don't you?
We do. And this is based on some current research that really turned my view on the banking industry. I had always admired how the banking industry can secure billions of transactions with apparently very little fraud. But with this digital transformation, with everything going online, even in-shop purchases, it doesn't look like the banks and the payment industry as a whole have a good handle on the security of these systems. We are trying to think about what criminals will do in the near future. And as we are documenting all these vulnerabilities, events are unfolding around us where all kinds of players, merchants, and also banks come to us, showing us evidence of criminals actually adopting very advanced hacking techniques to divert, in some cases, millions of dollars or euros in transactions. And the banks are struggling to keep up, even understanding what is happening. So currently, we are much less protected than just a few years ago, because those systems have grown in complexity and volume tremendously.
Yeah. And when you hear about all the hacks taking place in all levels of the government and all over the world, just the U.S., they seem to get published more so than other places. But we had banks around the world losing $1 billion in a very short period of time. Every country in the world is vulnerable to this, aren't they?
Yes. So most countries in the world use very similar payment techniques, which makes sense because you want to take your credit card abroad and still be able to pay with the same payment instrument. And I should say that these payment instruments are much better secured than before. So, for instance, just a magnetic stripe card with no PIN number is much worse than what people are now using, the chip card with the PIN number. However, the amount that a fraudster can possibly make by hacking a system grows faster than the protection. So if it's 10 times harder now to hack a system, but you get 1,000 times the volume because you can basically hack the entire world from some basement in Eastern Europe, then it's much more worthwhile your time than before. So we're not keeping up in this evolution of protection technology with the interlinkage of all these different networks in the world, where today one person can basically defraud everybody.
Well, it's fascinating, because when you look at this thing and you see what's happening, like you said, the reward goes up 100 or 1,000-fold, but the risk of apprehension of getting caught is diminishing at the same time, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. So magnetic stripe cards, for instance, the old payment instrument, they could be stolen locally. You could just copy a card, but that would mean somebody in a store that you visited, or maybe a pickpocketer, somebody in your vicinity was defrauding you. Today, it could be somebody on the other end of the world, perhaps shielded by a government that's at cross with your own government. A lot of criminals are rumored to be hiding in Russia right now, and the Russian government isn't doing too much about them defrauding, let's say, Western Europeans or U.S. Americans.
Yeah, so, and sometimes you have very weak governments that don't have the wherewithal or the desire to pursue these criminals as well. So, but, you know, be careful what you wish for, because at the same time, Russians might be hiding or sheltering these criminals. They're going to be susceptible to it as well, aren't they?
Oh, yes. And I think the stupid thing for Russian criminals to do is to start defrauding other Russians. That's when they actually do end up in jail. So one force that still keeps us reasonably safe is the stupidity of the average criminal. But if only they targeted other countries, I think that would be reasonably safe considering in what line of business they're operating.
Yeah. And so it's really, really, this is a ticking time bomb. I mean, even if they're not looking to steal, if they can hack the system and bring it down, they can literally stop the world's economy dead in its tracks.
And that is true not just for payment systems. Of course, every aspect of life is getting digitized. Our utilities are vulnerable to internet attacks. Our cars will soon be vulnerable to somebody hacking the autopilot. Airlines and trains have long been automated. But it turns out that not many people want to bring down systems. Unlike fraud, there isn't much in destroying other people's life. Of course, you could play the terrorist card, but it turns out there's much, much fewer terrorists in the world than criminals. So yeah. In the end, making money is more appealing to a lot of people than blowing yourself up.
Interesting. So they're getting capitalistic, these terrorists, seeing the profit potential. And yeah, but there are crazies out there who potentially could do it for sure. What can you as an individual do about it, or can you do anything?
As an individual, of course, you have very little power to influence large developments like that. And even major banks are, of course, only small parts in this global system that's mostly dominated by Visa, MasterCard, and a few other companies that dictate how we pay and what instruments we use for it. I think what consumers and consumer advocates can, however, still do is make sure that they don't end with the liability for decisions that they had no influence over. One major shift in a lot of European countries was that when we moved away from magnetic stripes into chip and PIN, all the liability for fraud ended up with the consumer, assuming that the system was unhackable. So the only possible fraud was when the consumer was colluding with a criminal, giving the card, giving the PIN number. Now, it turns out that there's plenty of ways to steal the PIN numbers from people who are not colluding, and those people are now stuck with the bill. So protesting situations in which you are made responsible for other people's decisions, like Visa and MasterCard's decisions, I think is the foremost thing that consumers can do. And if we end up in a situation where those large corporations do manage the risk and pay for it, then I think we as consumers don't have much to worry about anymore.
So if I could paraphrase you, you're probably better off using credit cards than debit cards in this vulnerable environment, because the big companies, the banks, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, they're going to be on the hook for it rather than you. So vulnerability-wise, you're probably better off doing that, I guess?
Yes, I think that is the liability logic in the U.S., that a debit card incurs a smaller fee because there isn't a fraud insurance being paid. And with a credit card, the merchant actually pays a higher fee, which covers then possible fraud. Now, so for every individual, it's actually a smart decision to use a credit card instead of a debit card. But for a population as a whole, we're incurring unnecessary cost. And in the end, everybody pays for everybody else's fraud over a longer period of time. So it's a very classical free rider problem in which everybody chooses the solution that makes everybody else worse off.
Well, it's kind of like, well, that's like so many other things. Department stores, basically, you, the consumer, pay for pilferage by employees and by customers in the form of higher prices. In insurance, you, the policyholder, the legal, legitimate policyholder, honest policyholder, is paying for fraud in arson claims or fraudulent insurance claims, whatever they might be. So the public at large, the customer base, and in this case, it's the entire world, is going to pay for their screw-ups no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And an argument can be made that the credit card companies have very little incentive in changing the situation, in particular, have very little incentive of limiting fraud.
Yeah.
At least as long as the fraud is not excessive, because currently the credit card companies incur fraud by being slow in adopting new technology and by being bad in implementing it properly, but everybody else pays for it. In fact, some cut of this insurance premium for fraud probably stays with Visa and MasterCard. So in the end, they are a beneficiary of fraud. Again, as long as it's not so excessive that shops will ask you to pay double if you pay with Visa.
Yeah. So it's okay to a point, but then you get to the point where it's threatening the viability of Visa and MasterCard potentially, or making them uncompetitive because their fees skyrocket to cover the burgeoning costs of fraud. And then all of a sudden they stand up and take notice and say, we got to do something here, but it might be too late. And, you know, it's interesting because businesses in general are horrible at protecting themselves against fraud. They're really bad at it. They've taken steps for the old systems to minimize it to some extent. You know, you've got text verifications when you make a charge on American Express or certain credit cards. They've taken steps, but overall, their record of dealing with fraud, and we're not even talking about getting law enforcement to prosecute these parties, it's just really, really disappointing.
Yeah, and just like the big payment networks, also merchants have very little incentive to limit fraud. So imagine a situation where somebody obviously sketchy walks in with a lot of payment cards, tries one after the other until one finally works and purchases something from the store. That store still makes the sale. There is no situation too sketchy for a merchant to want to make the sale, because that fraud cost is paid by other people and ultimately, of course, by everybody through this added insurance premium. So it's a somewhat perverse situation in which the population that has least say in the design and implementation of payment networks, ordinary consumers, bear all the cost of fraud.
Yeah, and That I'm afraid is an age old concern. As long as third parties are absorbing the cost of the fraud, then incentives to deal with it are diminished. If the merchant himself had to bear a portion of that fraud, at least equal to or greater than their profit margins, their after-tax profit margins, they would have a tremendous incentive to be certain that they're doing adequate screening of their customers, looking for signs or indicia of a fraudulent activity.
Yeah, and I think that there's two big drivers why consumers haven't stood up against this yet. One was an extremely smart move by the payment networks, where they told merchants to charge the same price paying with a credit card and paying cash, even though the merchant has to divert some of the credit card payment to the network. They're not allowed to give a discount for cash payments, or at least that is very uncommon these days. So in the end, the consumer doesn't really have a choice. Even if you pay cash, you are paying the insurance premium for everybody else's credit card fraud. Now, the second factor contributing, I think, is the relative small volume of fraud. So where earlier we said there's much more criminals than terrorists, an even larger population by many orders of magnitude is people who are neither criminals nor terrorists. Most transactions go through just fine. Most payments are not fraudulent. In fact, the premium that credit card companies charge for fraud alone is somewhere on the order of 1.5%. So you wouldn't save a whole lot on an individual purchase. But looking at it for an entire economy, of course, this is billions of dollars that are charged every year. This would be a huge tax and very highly debated if somebody wanted to introduce this. But in payments, for these two reasons, you don't have a choice. And it's very little per purchase. People seem to accept it just fine.
Wow. So diffusion of the costs. But right now, it's how many percent? What's the percent of fraud that they encounter? It's probably less than 1%, something like that.
That's a good question. So, yeah, if you assume that fraudulent purchases are larger volume than the average, then yeah, somewhere around 1% of purchases would be fraudulent. Of course, tilted towards retailers. I don't think many. I don't think every kind of business chain has the same fraud occurrence. Imagine like an airline. You wouldn't pay an airline ticket with a stolen credit card to then sit on that seat 2 months later, because at that point it would be clear that you were the fraudster. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So certain kinds, high value goods, electronic stores. I mean, I've seen myself, I've gotten hit by fraudulent charges at Best Buy, large popular electronics chain in the States. So certain things, jewelry and high-end clothing, probably more susceptible. But if it's a 1% tax, 1% for all of us. So you look and, you know, whatever you're making, you take off 1%. Yeah, you don't want to pay it, but it's a cost that we all bear. If it hits 5%, we're going to be at panic. We're going to be in the panic range at that point. And there's no saying how high it might go.
Yeah. And well, the credit card companies do have options to secure the system much better. In fact, that is what in our research we always find, that it's not actually difficult to secure these systems. And as the pressure is building, as this insurance premium of 1.5% isn't enough anymore to cover for the fraud cost, payment systems do upgrade into better technology. So somehow the evolutionary forces are at work here in the right direction, but it's kind of like the forest is always burning, and only when it starts really eating into your city do you call the firefighter, where we could contain this a whole lot more and avoid a bunch more damage on the order of, you know, maybe, you know, 0.5% of all payments. That's huge. It's billions of dollars, and we just don't seem to be able to act this proactively.
All right. Well, it's really interesting. I'm glad you really are on top of this, and because only through widespread knowledge and awareness of what's happening will anything change. Will there be pressure on the politicians to put pressure on the banks, which is another story altogether. We could talk about that for a long time. But point being that until people are really aware and really on top of this, not much is going to change. So people want to read your work, Karsten, find out more about you. What's the best place to find you on the internet?
We do post on a research blog. The address is srlabs.de for security research labs in Germany. Some of our research is concerned with payments. Others goes into mobile phone technology, which of course now is merging with payments. So lots of stuff to follow up on this discussion.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the mobile phones. That's for another time. So anyway, we will have a link in the show notes to this interview on the Identity Theft Warriors. Karsten, thank you so much. And we will check up with you again. You're our go-to cryptographer expert.
Thanks a lot. Great to talk to you.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.